Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're heard on 103.9 FM, Long Island News Radio, and on earnestlyspeakingradio.com as a podcast. So anything you hear on this program can be heard on earnestlyspeakingradio.com. I'm talking today to Paul Orphan and Tom Williams. And are you both on this as authors, this book that you wrote?
Well, I'm the author, but Tom helped me a great deal.
So he's a consulting author.
Yeah, a contributing author.
Okay.
I think that's what the credit I've given him.
Okay. Now, Unfinished Business is called, right? Unfinished Business, Social Action in Suburbia. Is that the name of the book?
That's the name of the book. And the tagline is Long Island, New York, 1945 to 2014. So it's the story of 70 years of development of social action and social welfare programs on Long Island.
So that's what your focus is,
right?
Is on social welfare programs and what we did to make things
better
for the populace.
Right after World War II and the tremendous changes that came.
But that's almost inherently intertwined with the economics of the
exactly.
region.
Exactly. And the politics. When this all started, blacks and Jews were not welcome.
Do we still like those people or what?
Well, it depends on what neighborhood you're in.
Okay. We really didn't overcome those problems, but we have come a long, long way.
We've come a long way. And that's part of the message of the book. We've come a long way. There's a long way to go. But, the myth, I challenge the myth in this book. After all my archival research and my interviews of leaders in the social welfare field, is that Long Island has been a pioneer in a lot of social policy development and social programs, first of its kind. Shoreham, the first time a nuclear power plant, ready to go online, was ended. DDT, it started.
DDT was, wasn't that Rachel Carson's
But prior to that, it was a pond in Yaphank.
Yep.
Tom, why don't you say something about that?
Well, there was a big dump of DDT in the Upper Lake in the Carmans River.
Uh-huh.
And the Mosquito Control Commission wanted to go home early that day because it was a hot, sticky day. So there was a huge fish kill there. And Carol Yannicone, who used to swim in that lake, read about it, and she was upset.
That was Victor Yannicone's wife.
That's right.
Victor Yannicone brought a suit, but he didn't have the standing. But then some scientists from Stony Brook and Brookhaven Hamlet, including Dennis Pulston, a known naturalist, came to him and said, DDT is this terrible effect on the environment. So they brought a suit against the Mosquito Control Commission. They did not win the suit because they didn't have the standing in Suffolk. Suffolk said it was a state issue. But the legislature was so impressed with the testimony that they decided that they would no longer let the Mosquito Control Commission in Suffolk use DDT. So
that was before
it started here.
Anything else.
It was the first. Nobody else had done that.
And this led to the development of the Environmental Defense Fund.
Right.
Now, that's a pretty active
And there are many other
right now.
In my book, I cite 39 examples of Long Island being the instrument of change. Back in 73, Assemblyman Peter Costigan, chairman of the Select Committee on Child Abuse, he got passage of the Child Protection Services Act of 1973, which created a state registry on child abuse. Nassau-Suffolk Law Services began the first legal services corporation in New York State in 1966. There's a whole lot of them.
What does that do? Is that the, that's not the legal aid society or so?
No, they are government entities. Nassau Suffolk Law Services, David Cadane out of Hofstra back in the 50s and 60s, he created a law clinic which in Hempstead, which became Nassau Suffolk Law Services. So they provide pro bono law services to indigents, but it's not
bono means free.
Right.
But who pays the? I mean, lawyers don't go out working,
right.
A full week,
yeah,
but no pay.
So Nassau Suffolk Law Services receives some government funding and private funding to subsidize them to be able to augment what the.
Does the legal community pay for that? Like maybe an association commitment?
No, not to my knowledge. No,
that would be a good place to hit them for.
Yeah.
You know, do your conscious effort to
right.
If you really believe in the law, put a nickel in the drum and you'll all be saved. They're not that these people will ever be saved. You know,
some other examples.
They are lawyers, you know.
That's right.
Some other examples. There's a lot of stuff on in the environment. The first county to initiate a ban on phosphates. Started here. New York State's Padovan law.
What about phosphates? Was that a legitimate bad thing?
Yeah, well, I think phosphorus is can contribute to water pollution in the bays, and right now the focus is on nitrogen, but phosphorus was used in fertilizers and in a lot of the dishwashing and washing machine stuff. And so that phosphorus did create situations in the bays and the rivers that lowered oxygen.
We don't use it anymore?
No, it's banned in Suffolk County. We don't use it for washing.
So everybody says, how are you going to wash your clothes? And that didn't, we still have dirty clothes?
We still have soap, yeah.
Just switching over to mental health, the Padovan law.
Don't start on my problems.
You couldn't get group homes established because people were fearful that their community is going to become oversaturated. So Frank Padovan, a state senator, he shepherded a passage that said, you know, that you had to approve a group home in your community if you could prove that it didn't oversaturate your area. It opened up the door to many, many group homes. Health centers. In Nassau County, they went ahead and developed a hospital. In Suffolk County, they created community health centers instead of creating a county tax-supported hospital.
Well, you know, the vast majority, and you know this, I'm not telling you anything, the vast majority of people with mental health problems are not a problem to the society so much as they are a problem to themselves. And you know, they can't function, but they can't, you know, if we're fearful of them, it's that's a misplaced fear in most cases.
Right. Well, one of the pieces of history here is the huge state hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
They went to eliminate them, and so all these people suddenly were out in the community, and they had no place to live, and they had no place to get care.
There was no planning.
It was like, let's get rid of our responsibility.
Yes.
We don't want to house and
so
pay
Bayshore
for this.
And Sayville and Long Beach became waiting rooms.
What was the guy's name who was a supervisor of...
Dr. Brill.
No.
He
was
Pilgrim
supervisor
State.
of Islip Town, actually.
Cohallen?
Frank
Jones.
Frank Jones. Mm-hmm. Well, he was making a talk at Limba one morning, and he said, we let all these people out of these institutions, and half of them wound up on the streets of Bayshore.
Yeah.
And I said, and the other half went into politics. Well, it took a couple of minutes to calm the room down after that because everybody left. But in any case, that's, you know, we think we're doing the right thing sometimes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it probably was the right thing, except yes. that it didn't have a backup. It didn't have a secondary.
That's right. It didn't have the follow-up. And
you know, in the economic area, the first economic impact statements to be were included in a consumer intervention against Lilco for a rate increase request. And that led to the idea of having, looking at the economic impact of public legislation. Yeah.
Tell us the book name again.
The title is Unfinished Business, Social Action in Suburbia, Long Island, New York, 1945 to 2014.
Okay. We're going to be closing out this segment in a few seconds here, but I just wanted to get that back in. Now, both of you guys have been doing things for the public good for a long time.
50 years or so.
Paul Offen and Tom Williams. Tom Williams. Why am I missing that?
That's all right.
In any case, not that it's a hard name or anything, but Tom, you were in the agricultural side of this island.
I was the director of Cornell Cooperative Extension in Suffolk for about 8 years. And
we've enjoyed having your input, because I'm into that sort of thing.
And
so.
Tom was he was the founding director of the Brookhaven Youth Board. He was with the Suffolk Community Council.
This is Ernie Fazio, and we're going to close this segment out, but this has been an interesting segment. Stay with us. This is Earnestly Speaking podcast.